Welcome to Living the Good Life podcast, where we bring you messages, thoughts, and advice for living the good life. Today's message is brought to us by Brother Larry Dishman.
And we'll ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us, if you would, over to the book of Ecclesiastes and the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes 11 chapter, verse number 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. In the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the first verse says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I'd like to speak to you for a little while on the subject, remember God in the days of thy youth. And you know, as parents, sometimes we underestimate young people. You know, they are very smart. You'd be amazed of how many teens get their first car by asking for a motorcycle. The parents decide to get them a car real quick, afraid they'll get a motorcycle. Pretty smart. Well, it's important that you seek God while you're young. Get established in the things of God. I read one time about a man who came rushing up to a ferry. He needed to catch the boat. He needed to cross the lake. And he arrived breathless after running full steam to get there. But the gateman shut the door in his face. He just missed the boat. A bystander remarked to him, well, I guess you didn't run fast enough. And the disappointed man answered, I ran fast enough. I didn't start on time. Friend, to accomplish the most for God in a lifetime, you need to start early. Too many got started too late. Get started early living for God. By the way, Timothy was a young man. Some people believe that he was even a teenager. And here's what Paul said to this man. Let no man despise thy youth in 1 Timothy 4:12. In other words, he said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're a young person, because you are important. And don't let anybody despise you. A lot of folks say that the young people is the church of tomorrow. But young people who are saved are the church of today. Did you know young people know that a significant portion of the Bible was really written to you? Paul wrote to this young man by the name of Timothy. Rhoda was young, and Mary and Mark. The book of Proverbs largely directs young folks on the right course of life. Daniel and his three friends were young men. And another great hero in the Bible is teenage Joseph. Youthful David conquered the biggest bully ever that walked upon this earth. And every one of those teenagers faced tough challenges just like you are facing. And yet they overcame them. And I would urge you, let them be your heroes. You need heroes. And these are some of the best heroes, the ones we find in the Bible. When I was laying carpet for a living, I went into a lot of homes. I went into a lot of homes where there was young people. And I couldn't help but see the posters in their room. Posters of their heroes. Big heroes. But may I ask you, be careful in choosing your heroes. If you choose a superstar who is a fallen star, who is vile and into sin, then you're merely trying to copy a rat. You don't want to be a rat. So don't copy the rats. Choose your heroes wisely. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find the perspective of one who searched for the meaning of life. This preacher wanted to know what the meaning of life was. And he examined wisdom. He examined riches. And he examined pleasure. And he shared the fruits of his search. And what he saw was vanity. He saw other things as good. And to those who are young, he offered the following exhortations. And one of the things he said in the 11th chapter in verse number 9, rejoice in thy youth. Rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. He also said, remove sorrow and evil from your youth. In verse number 10, he said, therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Then he says something else in the 12th chapter in verse number 1. He says, remember God in your youth. Remember your Creator in your youth. Reflect upon what is coming. Now, I doubt that many young people would take issue with that first exhortation. They gladly rejoice in their youth. And Solomon said he wants you to enjoy your youth. Amen. They are happy to let their hearts cheer them, to walk in the ways of their hearts and in the sight of their eyes. But the remaining exhortation, he said, remove sorrow and evil and remember God. I want to encourage you to do that. Remove evil, amen, sorrow, and remember God. Reflect on what is yet to come. Now, some young people would think, well, if I have to do that, if I have to remove sorrow, and if I have to remove evil out of my life, and if I have to remember God, then that's going to take the joy out of youth. But not really. There are several good reasons why we need to remember God in the days of youth. Youth has no guarantee of the future. I'm speaking to some people who are young, a lot of young people, good young people, but you have no promise of tomorrow. Death is no respecter of persons. Death frequently strikes those who believe they are invincible. Accidents occur, disease, war. And in the course of my youth, I saw it happen time and time again, and you have too. And I could go on and tell you of instances where young people went out into eternity. Life is truly a vapor. And that's why the book of James tells us in the 4th chapter and verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. As a recent bumper sticker said, many who plan to repent at the 11th hour die at 10:30. Why does he say, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth? One of the reasons he said, because as I have already said, youth has no guarantee. And besides that, the Lord is coming one of these days. The end of time will occur. And 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter and verse number 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Now, I want you to think about that. The end of time will someday occur, and none of us know exactly when that's going to happen. There will be use at that time who will not have the benefit of a long life, who will not have time to change. And in the light of that, we ought to prepare for the future, because preparing for the future is a sign of maturity. Even if one is blessed to live a long life, somebody say, well, I know I'm going to live a long life. You don't know that, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Even if you're blessed to live a long life with plenty of time to change, there's another reason you should remember God in your youth. Misspent youth can curse your future. A misspent youth can curse your future because you reap what you sow. Amen. An important principle of life to remember is the one that we read in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse number 7, where the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What you do while you are young can permanently affect your future. Not just your future in eternity, but your future in this life. Somebody said, well, let me tell you, I'd like to go out for a little while and sow my wild oats. And they want to sow the seeds of rebellion many times. Young people are often inclined to rebel at all forms of authority. They rebel against their parents. They rebel against their teachers. They rebel against their pastor. They rebel against the police. Yet God has ordained that we submit to authority. That's according to the Bible. And our parents are God-given authority. Our pastors are God-given authority. And we are to submit to them. Rebellion against authority has caused many young people to spend years and years and years in prison. You can sow the seeds of lying. Many young people think nothing of telling lies. Once you're caught in a lie, your credibility is shattered. Your word means nothing. You can no longer be trusted. This has adverse effect on your relationships, even your employment. You know why? Because nobody has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. You can sow the seeds of stealing, shoplifting, and other crimes are rampant among many young people. If caught, others will be suspicious. You'll not be given positions of physical responsibility. You can sow the seeds of fornication. Sex among young people is popular in this day and time. Yet the Bible says, to the married, the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Yet many do not consider the high price of sexually transmitted diseases, unwanted pregnancies, compounded by abortion, forced marriages, which many times leads to a divorce. Then sowing the seeds of alcohol. I wanted to sing that song, to try to sing it, about the price of the bottle. It's just the down payment. And young people, that not only goes for the bottle, it goes for drugs. Think about it. So how much can you buy a bottle of wine for? How much would it cost to buy a bottle of whiskey? How much would it cost to buy a 12-pack? What would it cost to get drugs? Somebody says, it's not that expensive. Well, whatever the figure might be, that price that you pay for that alcohol, that price that you pay for those drugs, is just the down payment. No way of knowing the cost. Why? Because the song says this. There's no way of knowing the cost, for money can't comfort the hearts that are broken, nor buy back the souls that are lost. Yes, it's just the down payment. No way of knowing the cost. Sinful lifestyles causing heartbreak and violence and death and infidelity and broken homes and divorced kids and lost jobs and murderous fights and a highway of homicides. That's what it cost. Many friendships are broken because of drinking alcohol, beverages, than any other way. Yes, there was a man by the name of Charles Lamb. He confessed it because of booze. He said he was gliding into abyss with an open eyes, a bound will, seeing his own destruction before him without having strength of will to break away, with all the good drained from his heart. Yes, the alcoholic commits suicide on installment plans. I want to tell you what Billy Sunday said. Billy Sunday said, "The people who laugh and scoff at my preaching because I preach against beer have never stood over the graves of a mother and a child killed by a drunk driver. They've never seen that little casket being lowered alongside the mother's casket because some drunk driver killed them. The drunk driver lived." I tell you, friend, another preacher, I've read some of his messages over the years, some tracts and booklets by the name of Harold Slider, lost his 9-year-old little girl when a drunk driver in Greensboro, North Carolina, drove off the road, ran over his daughter, killing her. The booze industry does not pay the price. Innocent people do. God will hold evildoers accountable on Judgment Day. The saloon is the sum of all villains. It's worse than war. It's worse than pestilence. It's the parent of crimes and the mother of sins. It's the appalling source of misery and crime in this land. And to license such an incarnate fiend of hell is the dirtiest, low-down, damnable business on the top of God's earth, is what Billy Sunday said about alcohol. Billy Sunday said, "The man who votes for the saloon is pulling on the same rope with the devil, whether he knows it or not." See, what people don't want to tell you is every single day, at least 10 young people die because of drinking. At least 10. I want you to think about some of the statistics. According to studies, you have at least 1 in 10 chances of becoming an alcoholic with every sip. Said, "I'm not going to be an alcoholic. I'm just going to do a little social drinking." I want to warn you, young people, you're going to be pressured to drink. You're going to be pressured with drugs. Some of you already have been pressured along these lines, but you'll be pressured again. But every time you take one sip of alcohol, that means it's at least 1 in 10 chance of becoming an alcoholic. Every time you take a drink, you are playing Russian roulette with your soul. Any given sip may pull the switch that will change your metabolism and turn you into a chronic alcoholic and destroy your life. Yes, the price of the bottle. Some here know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what's happened to your home, to your marriage, because of alcohol. And I have known of cases, they said their wife warned them, "If you don't quit drinking, if you don't get off of drugs, I'm leaving you. I'm divorcing you. I'm taking the family. I can't live this way any longer. And them young men said, I love my wife. I love my children. But alcohol and drugs gets such a hold on them, such a stronghold, that even though they know this is going to cost me my marriage, this is going to cost me my family, it's going to cost me my home, it's going to cost me my job, they're so bound by the power of sin that they go ahead and drink and continue on with drugs. Yes, there's a price to pay for the bottle, young people. There's a price to pay when you get bound by drugs and the things of this old world. And so, sowing the seeds of drugs, drugs have great potential of ruining your life. There's a price to pay. Young people, let me tell you something. If you're not very, very careful, you're going to spend the first half of your life making the second half of your life miserable. That's what so many people do. Because they don't seek God in their youth, they spend the first half of their life making the second half miserable. And without God, there's a good possibility that's what will happen in your life. A well-spent youth can bless your life. Comes the time when you leave home and you want to get out on your own, and I can understand that. But live for God. Be true to God. You can be independent, but don't let others run your life. Don't let Hollywood run your life. Don't let drugs regulate your life. Don't let harmful music roughen your life. Don't let premarital sex wreck your life. Don't let the crowd rule your life. Don't let alcohol ruin your life. You can be in charge. Don't let none of these things be in charge. Teenagers, you need to learn. No is a complete sentence. Don't need nothing added to it. No, I'm not drinking. No, I'm not smoking. No, I'm not having anything to do with drugs. Amen. Too many fantastic young people become slaves to hard taskmasters of alcohol and drugs. They become imprisoned for the rest of their lives. Only when you give your heart to Jesus Christ will you really find freedom and really find liberty. I myself, I'm ashamed of this, but I went out in sin trying to find freedom, trying to find liberty. But all sin did was bring me into bondage. But then I heard about Jesus, and I came to Jesus Christ and repented of my sins, and I found out what true freedom is, what true liberty is. And you can find it also. Just compare the foolish and the wise. Psalms 127, verse number 1. A song of degrees of Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Unless you build your life on the teachings of Jesus Christ and God's word, your life will have no real meaning. Friend, you have to make a choice. A wise man will build his house on a rock, and a foolish man will build his life on the sand. And when you hear and obey the word of God, you build your life on a solid foundation. And with a solid foundation, the storms of life will come, but your soul will stand secure. The foolish child does not remember God in his youth. He won't listen to the advice of others. He has to learn for himself. Invariably, he makes a mess of his life, makes a mess out of his health, his marriage, and his career. Spends a good portion of his life undoing foolish choices that he made while he was young. But the wise child remembers God in his youth, follows God's advice, follows the advice of spiritual people, learns from his mistakes, and begins a life of solid foundation and a good head start, able to accomplish more in life, will enjoy pleasurable memories, not bemoan his past. With a difference in the quality of life there can be when a man makes the right choices while he's young. And that's what this message is about. Make the right choices while you're young by obeying the gospel, becoming an example to the believers. Nobody can force you to remember God in your youth. We can only point out the dangers if you don't remember God in your youth. I hope this lesson will encourage you to make the right choices. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you found this message helpful, please share this episode with your friends on Facebook, Messenger, or your favorite social media. If you have questions or suggestions, please message us on Facebook by searching Living the Good Life Show. A big thank you to Sister Rachel Fowler for all of her editing expertise. Until next time, keep living the good life.